So then you look at the fact that she's 48 and she's premenopausal, and you look at the presentation from last year, where in this patient population, the group that had a recurrence score of 16 to 20 had, you know, marginal benefit from chemotherapy, mostly in the local recurrence, not as much in the distant recurrence. And that's where I think I struggle, because the discussion ends up being very complicated. And if I show the patient the curves are really very, very close together. And you need a magnifying glass to see the difference. But you'll see a difference of one, maybe 2 percentage points. And then the patient gets to decide if that's good enough. Now, what Joe Sperano looked at ASCO, and we had kind of discussed this when we were looking at all the slides, was the last slide that he put together that incorporated endocrine therapy with Oncotype and with Taylor-X, which only looks at chemotherapy benefit. And the thought is that these patients that have maybe a higher clinical risk, maybe not a genomic risk that will mean that they should get chemotherapy, but based on that intermediate risk category, maybe we should optimize their endocrine therapy by offering them ovarian suppression. So I think that's where the gap in data is, where we don't have clear understanding of whether we should be giving them OFS or not. But, you know, in my mind, that's where the benefit in this woman would be, mostly in ovarian function suppression versus chemotherapy.
And as you say, that debate really started 2018 ASCO. That was the first time I really saw menopausal status really being factored into interpretation of Oncotype. And you kind of saw the same thing this year at ASCO, but now looking at something else, which is the issue of adverse clinical features like tumor size. And did you come away with the same message in general that for the postmenopausal women, pretty straightforward, they're not going to benefit from chemo? Premenopausal woman, not clear. Maybe they're benefiting from chemo. Maybe they're benefiting from chemo-induced ovarian suppression. Did that sort of theme go through this year too, do you think?
I think so. And again, if you're a purist, you're going to look at the data and see all of the gaps in data and say, geez, we can't really conclude that way. And you're probably right. But in oncology, we work with gaps all the time and we have to make the best of it. When you look at Taylor-X, they looked at menopausal status in the beginning of the trial, but they did not measure estrogen levels. They did not look at menopause after chemotherapy. So all of these are total unknowns.